Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Mr. Rudd says a new page in Australian history will now be written. So where, as a nation, do we go from here? That is the question. Joining us now is Pastor Ray Minicon. He was in Canberra for the apology. He also was joining us this time last week. It's the first time ever we've had the same person open up our show. Ray, welcome to Open House again.
Yeah, thank you, Sheridan. It's good to be here.
You were down in Canberra for the apology. How did you feel when you heard those words from Mr. Rudd?
Yes, I was in the chambers there when Mr. Rudd presented the apology. I must say, I did shed some tears. I thought he said that apology with incredible sincerity, with great compassion, and with deep personal meaning. So it did have a deep effect upon me and upon those who were with us in the chambers. And I think it did show that he touched the hearts of people around the country as well.
We saw, those of us who were watching on the television, saw many Indigenous folks shedding tears. Was that a common occurrence, or did we only see a few folks there?
That was a common occurrence around, especially in the part of the chambers that I was sitting in anyways. And I mean, I was sitting next to a Stolen Generation member, a friend of mine from the Kinchia Boys, and right next to me was the Reverend Bill Cruz. And in that moment when I was weeping, Reverend Bill Cruz just grabbed my hand, and we shared a brief encounter there with each other.
We talked about this theoretically last week, and now it's happened. Just how profound do you think that apology on Wednesday will actually be for Indigenous Australia?
Look, it is very, very profound. I think it was just a historical moment. To me, it was a spiritual, deeply spiritual, and I think we will look back to this particular moment in our history and recognise that what Mr. Rudd has done and the Prime Minister has done is the right thing for this country.
Ray, a lot of people are in disagreement, I guess, as to Brendan Nelson's statement afterwards, the opposition leader. How did you feel with what Brendan said?
Look, he had us there in the first part of his speech, and I think if he would have said amen at the end of the very first part of his speech, it would have been great. We were confused, and still am, about how the apology to the Stolen Generation could be also a part of a discussion about the exploits of war and the Northern Territory interventions. I understand where he's coming from. I understand that he has a party there that he has to, be a part of, and it's part of their philosophy to do that. But I think he was—he had a very difficult task to do. I think he tried his hardest to do what I think was the right thing. But it was just those occasions in his speech where he diverted from that. And I think the other thing that he should have done prior to delivering his speech was get permission to use the story that he used, that dear old lady from Victoria, because she was very upset that he used her story and he didn't ask her permission.
Yeah.
And that upset her very much. And
yes.
I know he did call her later and...
And did apologise.
Apologise, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of apology going on at the moment.
Yes.
A lot of people, of course, will be thinking, okay, well, what now, especially for the Northern Territory intervention? I guess, you know, whether it was right or wrong, he did raise an issue that a lot of people are thinking about. Now, you're an Indigenous Christian leader. Very interested to know, what do you think should happen from this point on when it comes to the Northern Territory situation? We've heard this horror that's happening there, and so somebody's got to do something. But what's the best way forward from here, Ray?
Let me first finish off on the apology side of things, that's not finished. There is still unfinished business there, and from a very, very deep personal and Christian theological viewpoint, there needs to be reparations, there needs to be compensation.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a normal part of the processes now, to redress what had been a very deep and personal wrong here for members of the Stolen Generation. And it would have been good just to see that... I guess when I was speaking to a number of the Stolen Generation people here that I work with, they said, well, this is the first step. the second, you know, just take one step at a time and we'll get
yes,
there.
Yes.
So our people are very patient and believe that our government will do the right thing. So we'll take those steps necessary now to look at redress in terms of compensation for the wrong that has been done. In terms of the Northern Territory, there's a whole range of things that need to be done in the Northern Territory. I think first and foremost that the Northern Territory needs to work with the federal government in terms of getting their own statehood. They need to become their own governing state, because at the moment it's like remote control. Canberra has a big say in what happens in the Northern Territory. They can override the Northern Territory government's as we've seen in the intervention here, and as we've seen in other instances, for example, within the Mutitjulu community. I do believe that they have a right to self-determination through their own statehood. That would then help them to get the right resources, make the right government choices that they need to do, like we do here in New South Wales and other parts of the country, to do whatever is necessary for their own constituents. In terms of the Northern Territory intervention, my feeling is that the intervention didn't address the real key issues that was a part of the Children of Sacred report. And I don't think any of those recommendations have been implemented, as far as I'm aware. And it did go in there to protect those kids, but as far as I'm aware, up until this time, and this is nearly a year later,
yeah,
we know that there have been no arrests made of any person who have been either, you know, if there's so much sexual abuse in those communities, why hasn't there been an arrest?
Yeah, good question.
And there hasn't been. So the, a part of that underlying response to that would be then, if there hasn't been any arrests, then those children are still at risk. I can't for the life of me understand why they have sent the police in there, they've sent the army in there, they've sent, you know, the greatest forces that we have, powers that we have, to deliver something, and they have not made
one. Yeah, that doesn't seem to... We'll need to follow that up a little bit further. Ray, today...
The other side to that, too, is that it leaves those Aboriginal men up there, and perhaps even non-Indigenous men, under a cloud of doubt in terms of their own standing. So
yes,
we need to lift that ban immediately.
Yeah.
It needs to be dealt with so that the people can get on with their own lives.
Okay, well, today we've had the reports that the government is going to be reinstating the permit system in Northern Territory. Is that a step in the right direction, according to your mind?
Well, it is one step. That's a good move. I mean, they have to do a lot more than that. The permits are there because that's their country, that's their home. The other good thing that I heard the government do is that they're going to look at housing for those communities. And if you've gone into some of those communities, Sheridan, you'd probably walk away in complete
disbelief.
And disbelief, yeah. And I have taken a lot of people into those communities, and they've seen the social conditions and housing conditions, and they've walked away with a lot of despair. So, you know, we are a very developed nation. We should
yes.
not have those kind of situations in our country.
Yeah, okay. So we've got the next steps as we wait patiently. Thanks for joining us again, Ray.
No worries, Sheridan.
Yeah, appreciate it. That's Ray Minicon. He is the Director of Crossroads Ministries and Indigenous Christian Leader. It's been good to hear his views.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.